We're back with another podcast. I think some people know this guest.
We took a hiatus, or I did. How long has it been since we shot our last one?
I mean, at least 3 or 4 months. So probably longer than
probably
that.
Like 6, dude.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Just been a minute. But
I just kind of felt like I needed a break, you know, because I don't want to be one of those guys that's like, you know, always like seen as a person that wants to be like in the middle of everything. Cause I'm really not like that. I'm really more of a introspective type of person.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more of an introvert.
No, I agree. I've definitely always seen you as kind of an introvert.
Yeah.
But I feel like the podcast, the one time you get out of your.
Yeah, sometimes, dude. You know, though, it's good for me because I'm not naturally inclined to want to be super public.
Yeah.
And it's been good for me. Even like, and I try to think about it in a way that's like, if it's going to benefit the firm, really just the agents in the firm, then I'll just do it. So like sometimes people will ask me to like come and talk or do some things maybe outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie, Yes Man with Jim Carrey?
I've not seen it, but I've heard of it, obviously.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So he has a condition that he just has to say yes to everything. And he has to tell the truth, too. So it's like, and then it kind of like, his life becomes more adventurous, fulfilling. I mean, there's a lot of like craziness that happens when you say yes to everything.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's good, like, to engage life. Just say yes.
I agree. I think getting out of your comfort zone is probably where people operate the most productive. When you're like super comfortable.
Yeah.
You're less productive almost.
To like, I think we're hardwired to survive. And sometimes that means like to try to like be safe and seek comfort. But then all the growth happens when you do the opposite of that. And so what's interesting is that a lot of these like multi-millionaires and billionaires, instead of taking these like comfortable Four Seasons and Ritz-Carlton vacations at these spas where like they bring you towels and they like do everything for you, they're opting to go on these adventure vacations where they basically rough it.
I've seen some of this.
Yeah. And so they're paying like sometimes like 50 or 100 grand to be taken through these experiences on their vacation where they're like, they may go live out on their own in the woods with a tent.
That's crazy.
And like have these really intense friction-based experiences. And then they come back and they're more refreshed than if they just would have done and would have went and done nothing on a beach or something. Yeah, so it's kind of
too close to their real job.
Yeah, maybe. No, yeah.
No, I think there's definitely an interesting perspective there. I know that that's the one thing. I mean, you see motivational speakers and business influencers and coaches, and they all have different messages and specifics on how you can get successful. But the one commonality is almost all of them talk about pushing into the uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
and getting uncomfortable. And so I feel like that's one that's just for certain to be successful.
I know.
So see it with agents all the time.
It's just like, I mean, there's so many different metaphors and slogans. Pain is gain. Like be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And you hear all that and it's like, oh, it just kind of normally just kind of like, yeah, I've heard that before. But like, what does that look like in our day-to-day lives? Like, how can we intentionally, because I do believe that a successful life is lived day by day. I really believe that. And try to not worry about yesterday or tomorrow. It's funny because I've heard that being explained as when you got one foot in yesterday, and 1 foot in tomorrow, you're taking a shit on today.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so it's like, how can we approach the day and go, you know, I'm going to embrace whatever uncomfortability comes my way and like lean into that, because you know the whole time that there's growth there.
Yeah.
Even like, I don't know if people believe in the Bible or whatever, it doesn't really matter, but I know Paul alludes to that when he's like, consider it joy when you go through trials. Basically, like, good things are happening in your life, in your internal life, and in your spiritual life, and your emotional life, when you go through bad times and troubles. So it's like, almost like be grateful for those bad times, or consider that joy.
Yeah.
Because you're, as a human and as a being, growing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the growing pains. There's so many you could just keep going through. I think agents deal with that a lot. We've dealt with it as a brokerage. But I'd say, looking back, some of our most painful growing times have resulted in some of the most prosperity kind of things we've done. For example, it wasn't until there were these talks about NAR settling and all this stuff that Call Your Connect really took
That's
off.
That's true. It forces you to adapt.
And it was uncomfortable. You were uncomfortable. Yeah. We were all just wondering what was going to happen. So, well, I guess let's get into, I like to start these things out with a, you know, modern take on like where are things at right now. It's been a while since we've talked the last. I think the last time we talked, we were saying interest rates weren't going to come down. 6 months later, I think that stands true so far. Mm-hmm. For the last 6 months, what would you say your prediction is on the rates, state of the economy, kind of in the next 6 months?
Yeah, so a lot's happened in the last 6 months. And I think initially we talked about rates not coming down because of us not being able to get inflation in check. And so that's not necessarily why rates haven't come down. Inflation's not necessarily in check, but it's really just been all about the tariffs and the unknown.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we can talk a little bit about that. You know, Trump was just celebrating his 100th day in office yesterday, I guess it was. And his first 100 days, he's really pushed Powell, who's the Fed chairman, to lower rates.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, he's also enacted all of these tariffs, China primarily, but then also Canada and Mexico. The stock market has significantly dropped since we last did a podcast, from 42 to now it was around 38.
Yeah, I saw 39 yesterday.
Now it's a little bit back up, closer to 40. So there's this unknown that is we're in this situation of like, what's next? You know, and nobody really knows. Like, he could tomorrow come out and say, all tariffs are going away, we worked a deal with China, no more. The stock market will probably pop up pretty significantly. But then also, when that stock market pops up and consumers continue to spend, it's harder to lower rates. And so we just don't know what's going to happen with these tariffs right now. So we're really, really in a state of unknown. I will say that rates right now today, the 30-year mortgage I looked this morning is at 6.72.
It's not horrible.
It's not horrible. It's actually okay.
It's not a reason to not buy a house, for sure.
Oh, 100%, especially in Northwest Arkansas. Yeah. Yeah, so we just don't know, Spence. We don't know what's going to happen. Nobody does.
Yeah.
Now, I also saw yesterday where consumer sentiment is down to its lowest level since the pandemic because of the tariffs and because of the stock market. And so consumer psyche does drive the economy. It doesn't even matter if it's based in reality. If consumers feel a certain way,
100%.
The economy follows. Yep. So yeah, that'll be interesting to watch.
Well, what I've been watching too, do you know what global M3 money supply is? Mm-mm. So people track basically the amount of cash people have, and it's the global liquidity, global market money. And it's at like a peak right now. And the last few times it's hit this peak, we've seen what people in my generation call a bull run, which is just where things go parabolic and crazy. And it's in the crypto, stock, and real estate world, they're all kind of, real estate usually moves the slowest, but the most consistent I've noticed, and stocks and crypto are obviously all over the place. But that global money supply is exactly what you're saying. I was reading a thing yesterday and they were saying the reason global money supply is so high is because people have it in their hands trying to just figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. They've not really lost money and they've not made money. They're just waiting.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. So we've seen that with our buyers, and our buyers are very much there and available and poised, but nonetheless are somewhat frozen to see what happens.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows, you know? I mean, as wild as things have been, if Trump or whomever, you know, implements a 1,000% tariff, which who's to say that won't happen?
You never know.
I mean, it probably won't, but still, then that could be financial chaos. If it goes away, the tariffs go away or they get reduced and we find this balance, then the economy could do really well.
Yeah.
And so there's still the pent up from a real estate side. Another interesting thing that we're seeing is that inventory nationally has went up significantly. We have been in a state of dire need of housing in this country, and we're inching ourselves back into listings that are in line with prior to the pandemic.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen the inventory was rising, and I was gonna ask you what this meant, but I think you hit on it in the first thing. It's just people waiting. So inventory continues to be put in place, but people aren't moving one way or another, correct?
That has a lot to do with it.
Does that help us though, having a bigger inventory base for shoppers?
Yeah, to a point. You want a balanced inventory based on buyer demand. And so there's a kind of a symbiotic or a cause and effect relationship with listings and buyers that really just needs to be in balance. Northwest Arkansas this year is up 14% from a listing standpoint. And overall sales are about 5% up. And now this is year to date compared with 24. And so we're starting to build a higher repository of listings, which is good. It helps with affordability too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Do you think in Northwest Arkansas we will ever see the day that properties start to depreciate, or is that just like a fairy tale in this area?
Well, they depreciated significantly in 07, 08, 09. And so we know that that can happen even in a robust market. But that financial crisis was like nothing that we hadn't seen since the Great Depression.
And so it takes something pretty dramatic.
Exactly. And I don't really see that happening here in Northwest Arkansas for the next, I would say, 10 years. I just don't, there's not enough of a crack in our financial system, and there's not the inventory thing isn't even almost close to causing that sort of correction. So I'm in real estate, but honestly, I just don't see that.
Yeah.
Especially with Walmart, J.B. Hunt, and Tyson, and they're all really healthy.
I think they're doing good. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were at the Walmart home office the other day. It's basically, we've talked about it a ton on this podcast, so it feels right to give a little bit of an update, but I was there doing a video and it's dang near done, dude. They had the food court done and some of the gyms and the offices, and it kind of felt like it kind of felt like you were on like a really bougie college campus.
Really?
You have people walking around, like samples getting handed out to people, like just walking places of new products that were going on Walmart shelves. Like it was like a little utopia, like honestly. I literally, the craziest thing I saw, you'll love this. We were sitting there about to shoot this commercial and a guy pulls in and accidentally runs up on the curb and hits a sprinkler. And the sprinkler pops off and a giant water starts like shooting in the air. Within minutes, a crew is there fixing it. Like it was, I was like, where did these people come from?
Behind the bushes.
I mean, it's like they have people on call everywhere.
They probably weren't even people.
They're just robots.
Yeah, they were. They were robots.
It was fixed within 10 minutes, I swear. It was just instantly fixed, a whole sprinkler. I was like, that's impressive. So it's going to be a cool development, but I think you're right. We've got that going. Tyson's obviously doing great. JB Hunt is JB Hunt.
And people just love it here. Just the outdoor opportunities. Yep. And the camaraderie that people have. Because I think there's an aspect whenever you've had so many people move in that we're all in this thing together. Everybody's new. You know, everybody's new. Everybody was just where the new people are now. Not that long ago, trying to make friends and figure out what doctor to go to and what school to choose and what restaurants. And so there's this sense of acceptance of new in Northwest Arkansas, which makes it a really neat place to relocate to.
I agree. No, I definitely agree. I feel like people do have each other's backs here pretty well.
I think so.
And
I think so too.
I feel like there's this sense of, I like online specifically, if you go on there, everyone is such a hater to Arkansas. So there's a sense of pride of like this area. That's like, hey,
yeah.
Don't put us in that boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like y'all haven't been here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see it all the time. So, well, that's cool. I was going to go into next. So as a brokerage, we've got a few things spinning and going. With the market where it's at right now, I wanted you to hit on a little. We've talked about Collier Connect. We've talked about kind of the capabilities there. What would you say is, because we're going to go through our tech real quick.
Okay.
I wanted to kind of update people on where our tech's at and the agents and anyone else who watches this. So Collier Connect has been getting used a ton. I mean, we've done those testimonials of people finding the perfect match of a listing and just getting it done. The other day I called you and I said, what is the biggest value proposition to Collier Connect? And what you said was really good. Could you kind of hit on that a little, on like, what would you say in a market like this where things are kind of stale, maybe they're waiting, mm-hmm. where's the value in Collier Connect currently? Yeah.
When you answer that question, you got to look at the role of a modern real estate professional. And no longer is it the role of an agent to just rely single-handedly on the MLS and doing the pictures and putting the sign in the yard and putting it on the MLS and then taking the calls. That going forward is going to become irrelevant. So any real estate professional that continues to rely on that style of business will no longer be relevant in the future. And so when you look at how the role of a true real estate professional is changing, you have to consider what tools a brokerage can provide them with. And one of the roles that it's changing in is that agents are expected now to go find opportunities, right? If there's not a house that is available for them, their buyer, then they are expected to go find that house. They are expected to go put a deal together. And so with that being a consumer expectation, the brokerage thought, well, let's provide them with the infrastructure and the framework to do just that. Now, here's what we've done. We have created an internal portal that houses all of our off-market listings. Off-market listings can be make me move prices. Off-market listings can be coming soon. Off-market listing can just be on there if they want to test the market, get some feedback, from 250 agents, determine if their pricing's right, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what's so great about it, it lowers the threshold. So you don't have to necessarily put your house on the market and have people come through and do open houses, and it's so public and have a sign in the yard. And so it can, it allows you to lower that threshold, right? So people will say, yeah, let's try this out. So it's a whole nother tool. Now, we have seen a lot of success in putting it on Carrier Connect, getting feedback, getting understanding, and a lot of times those houses sell. We find buyers that match these houses. Many times we get information, we become smarter, then we put it on the MLS and we know exactly our strategy and it sells there. And so it's a tool that agents can use. Let me tell you what else it does. It also provides for agents to upload buyer parameters. And so you may upload 2-bedroom, 2-bath, Centerton, here's my price range, and you put that in Carrier Connect. And all of our agents can go check anytime they have a listing coming up to see if it matches these buyer profiles. They're also taking those buyer profiles and they're going out in their community. And they're saying, listen, I've got these buyers that meet the ramifications of this house, the qualifications of this house, and they're putting deals together. They're putting deals together. Even on Carrier Connect, we're matching buyers with listings on Carrier Connect. And so it's really been a fun way for our agents to go out and show the public their value. Our agents are going to the public and they're saying, listen, I know we hadn't found your place on Zillow or on the MLS, but I have 80 properties on Carrier Connect that are otherwise unavailable to anybody. Would you like the opportunity to see those 80 properties that are otherwise unavailable? And so it's such a great value proposition for our agents as well. And they're using it and it's working and we're putting deals together. And so now we're building this thing out where it's robust. And I know you're over that and you're the head of that. And so that's one really exciting thing that we're working on with Carrier Connect.
Yeah, I'm super excited for what we have planned for it. And when I was going to start building it out, the first thing I did was I wanted to dive into what's the significance of it. And I'd say from a consumer side, like you spoke to what the agents get to utilize, and I think 10 out of 10, you're right. Like, and that's what we've seen a million agents use, is they're using it to connect deals off market. I think the other unique thing to that is, like you said, they're taking those buyers, going out into the community, matching it.
That's right.
And then Brandon Still and Jackson Hogue were saying on this podcast, they were saying, if they go to a house that matches one of their buyers and let's say it just doesn't work out, well, they still tell that person, hey, we'll throw you on a Make Me Move offer on Carrier Connect.
Sure.
And then they just doubled up their clientele. So agents are really able to give value to the public. The public, what do they get? And I'd say what I've realized that is super valuable to the public is, first, there's kind of a competitive nature about it. A lot of people think putting something in front of the most eyes is how you drive up the price. However, I'd say you're also risking it, because now if something gets 50 showings and zero offers, another agent sees that as hostile. They see it as, oh, that's a thing we can, you know, hit and get a better negotiation. I'd say Carrier Connect, what I really like about it is you have the ability to kind of quietly just see what happens. See if someone's really interested in your property. I mean, yeah. I don't know why everyone isn't putting in a Make Me Move offer with a Collier and Associates agent, because I feel like that's what I would do. Is just, hey, in a dream world, I'd get this. I'd go upgrade houses and then see if something happens.
That's right.
So I'm super
and
excited for it.
And then if you do decide to go public, MLS, on market, well, guess what? Your days on market are zero, yet you come with a full cadre of tools and information about your house.
Yeah.
Right? So you get to go 0 days on market, and you've already got tons of feedback, whether it's pricing, whether it's layout, do you need to do an inspection, do you need to paint? How do we need to present this house to the public with 0 days on market?
I agree. And yeah, that's a huge
one. So it's a really cool tool, man. It's, and so eventually, let me tell you what's going to happen. Eventually, we're going to have a portal. And we may not even figure it out. But mark my words when I say that we're going to have a portal and everything is going to be housed in that portal. And so basically, you're going to put on investment property that's a cash flow property. And in that portal, which I would love for us to be the ones to do this, you're going to have already uploaded tenant needs. And so it's going to, with the algorithm, match investment properties with tenant needs. And it's going to start putting deals together on its own. Mm-hmm. And then agents are going to come in and broker. It's going to have so many buyer parameters. And it's going to read, yeah, look, we got a 3-bedroom, 2-bath in Centerton and we want it for under $450,000. The second a Collier Connect property hits, it's going to boom, match those two. Then it's going to send the agent an email and it's going to say, yo, we got 5 properties that match this criteria. And then it's going to send the buyer agent an email and they're going to get together and they're going to do deals off market.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Well, and I feel like that helps people be able to do more due diligence because speed. A buddy of mine's looking for houses right now, and he said by the time he finds the house and gets his wife to agree to go look at it, he said they'll get one showing in and then get a call that's like, hey, it's under contract. Because they've waited, and he's been doing his due diligence.
Right.
Well, with something like that, you know the second it hits the market. So then you do have 10, 15 days to get everything together, do your due diligence. You don't have to feel as rushed as real estate can sometimes feel.
That's right. Another thing that this portal can do is it should continue on after a sale. And so what I mean by that is that we should have tech that we upload data or information into during a sale that can continue to give you value long after it's over. So an example of that would be during the inspection period. You upload the inspection report. And so we get with our home inspectors and we give them a template that we know is going to integrate with our software. They do it. Well, then all of that information is housed. And so what that will do is it will send agents emails, information, request, and it will go ahead and package out flyers, postcards, emails, it doesn't matter, to that homeowner. And it'll say, it looks like 2 years ago, your hot water heater was 7 years old. We're at year 9. Here's 3 hot water heaters at 3 local places if you want to go buy and replace. Or it looks like your roof was X number of years old. Don't forget to contact your insurance company to put them on notice for X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
Or it looks like we did a tune-up a year ago when we sold your house on your AC unit. Here's 3 providers as another tune-up is recommended per your manufacturer warranty. And so you're following the person through the agent, but then the tech is following the property. And when you marry those two and you're giving them value about their property, obviously CMAs, but you're giving them value about their property and the agent is continuing that relationship, that's where true real estate professionals will thrive in the future.
Yep.
It'll be less about pumpkin pie recipes on Thanksgiving, and it'll be more about talking to the property.
Agreed.
Through tech.
No, I agree. Well, and it's just the value that tech can add to people to make them have to keep up with less, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's super valuable. So
some people don't want to hear this.
Yeah.
Like some agents and stuff, they don't want to hear it because it just challenges kind of like the norm.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people are just like, dude, shut up. You know, just like keep it like it is. Quit trying to be extra.
Philip Shepherd was talking about this.
Really?
That basically the adaptive agents are going to be able to thrive through the AI kind of generation.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So we have hit on Collier Connect. And that's kind of one pillar of the three things we're doing in our tech space right now at Collier & Associates, which is exciting because Collier Connect is a ton in and of itself. So the second thing I wanted to hit on real quick, and then we'll get to Match. I know, your baby. Second thing I wanted to hit on, though, that's really big for the public is the website. So we're excited to be revamping the entire website. CollierAndAssociate.com is completely redone. By the time this clip's out there, it's live. And so now consumers can go to Collier & Associate, find their home. There's a full plethora of ways to search featured properties. You can search by land specifically with our land division, by commercial. There's our relocation stuff for people who need relo. We have a whole seller's guide on there, so sellers can go on there and kind of see what we would offer so that they don't have to necessarily call instantly just to ask a few basic questions. We've laid it all out there. And so the website is truly consumer-facing now. And so everything we did when we went through designing this is for the consumer to make it easier for them. So if people go visit it, they will see kind of a new clean interface. It's going to look way better. It's going to feel more premium, and it's going to allow agents to kind of share listings with their clients easier through our native website. And it connects into a magic thing I'll let you explain called Match. Well, we got to figure out a name.
So is that going to be on our website?
It's on our website day one.
Really? Nice. But we're still working on.
Yeah, we'll kind of optimize it as we do it, and we won't maybe promote it as heavy. But I don't care if someone clicks on there and it's a little janky at first.
So on the website, this has been something that, like, we have totally neglected for so long. And I feel like our website has been a...
You keep going. Sorry, I was...
The website has been a D minus for a long time, based on like our size and the kind of level of agents that we have at our company. It's been seriously incongruent with the way that we operate our business. Now it's reflective. And so we have gone from literally a D minus. This website, from what I've seen, is an A plus, dude. Like, we just went ahead and, like, instead of, like, making a little better here, like, we met some people in New York City at an Inman Real Estate Tech Conference and commissioned them, essentially. They're really good. They're out in Los Angeles, California, and we commissioned them, and you have given them the complete vision of 3 or 4 years worth of conversations that you and I have had back and forth on how we can elevate our agents and consumer experience through the website. So
100%.
You've really done a good job on that. It just looks phenomenal.
Yeah,
I'm as excited as you are on it.
I'm so excited.
It's really going to be neat.
I'm excited to give the agents something too that they can be proud of.
They deserve it, dude.
Yeah, and say, go visit our website.
I know, like, they deserve it. I feel like we have somewhat failed them in the past on that, and now it's like redemption time. Mm-hmm. They deserve it. So on the website, you mentioned Match, which we do have to find a name because we'll get sued by Match.com.
It's not Match.com. We're calling it Agent Matcher for now.
Yeah, okay. Is that what it is?
No, I don't think that's permanent. That's what we're temporarily housing it as in the code so that we don't get sued.
Let me tell you about Match.
Tell us about
Match. Was born out of the idea that Zillow sells all of these leads to agents, and that also when consumers are looking for listings, they just click an agent, and it's a no-face agent that they're sent to work with. The consumer really doesn't have the... I don't know, maybe even the autonomy to really get a good picture about who they're working with. It's like they're just going to work with the Zillow agent who happened to pay the most money to get on the listings. And so my thinking is the consumer should demand and expect more. And here's what I mean by that. the consumer should demand and expect a real estate professional that they are aligned with. And so here's what we've done. We've created profiles of only our agents, all of our agents. And so it may be what their hobbies are. It may be their values. It's going to be some personality stuff, maybe some Enneagram stuff or some DISC stuff. It's going to be their areas of expertise, geographic areas. It's going to be their experience. It's going to give a picture of that agent and what value they can bring to the table, along with the softer side from a personality standpoint, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the consumer's gonna go online and they're gonna just click a few boxes. They're gonna state a sentence, and an algorithm that we've created through a coder, software developer, is going to then match that consumer with the top three agents in our brokerage that it feels like will create the best experience all the way around. Mm-hmm. Not just personality, but also from a transactional area of interest, experience standpoint.
Yep.
And so we're gonna curate these relationships. And so that relationship is going to go beyond just the clicking of a button, Zillow, transactional approach, doing a deal, being done.
No.
And I am so excited because I think consumers deserve that.
No, I agree. I agree.
So you just think about it, dude. Like, if you were just moving here from somewhere and you were looking for a house, how cool would it be? You're a young man. Just married, got a dog. You probably don't want to work with just some dude that you clicked on with Zillow that's a 68-year-old wearing a suit with his hair slicked back trying to convince you to do something.
Yeah. Well,
you want to work with another curly-headed bad boy who's an up-and-comer. You want to find your Brandon Steels of the world.
Yeah.
That are on their game, that know their business, that have done some deals, that know how to relate to you, even the way that they contact you. They may be DMing you or Snapchatting you or texting you. They're going to be sending you PDFs by text and not always by email. Like, you're just going to have this energy going. And then after that, dude, he's going to plug you in. He's going to invite you to Fellowship Church.
Yeah.
Because y'all are boys. Y'all are going to go play pickleball, and Lauren and his wife are going to be friends.
No, I think that's fantastic.
The key. It's quality of life.
Well, I think on the listing side too, I talked to an agent the other day that was going to a listing appointment. And I said, are you going to get it? And she said, I don't know. I'm competing with 8 other agents. So if anything else, this can at least save you a ton of time interviewing people when you're trying to do this
good
cat and mouse.
From a consumer standpoint.
Yeah, from a consumer side.
That's a really good
point.
On why
people should use it. Agents are going to love it, obviously. Yeah. It's a free way to connect with people.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
But on the consumer side, I think the value is you really have a way to streamline. I mean, it's stressful. You're at a new area, or you've never done the whole, you know, agent thing, or maybe your agent in the past was awful and you just got through it. No one should have that kind of an experience with an agent. Like, I truly believe there's an agent out there for everyone.
I agree.
And this can help bridge that gap. If anyone's had a bad experience with an agent, I mean, they know it's frustrating, but there's what, 2,000 agents in Arkansas, 4,000 agents?
Yeah, in Northwest Arkansas.
In Northwest alone. So if you can't find someone in 4,000 people, might be you, but I'm pretty sure you'll be able to.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Right now, the software is just going to be for
100%
our agents.
Yeah, but I think there's still something cool about that. We've got a ton
of
budgets.
Enough. Yeah, you can find your person in 250 people.
100%.
100%. You know, and our agents are legit, man. I'm proud of our agents.
They're doing good.
Like, we've got some really good agents.
Northwest Arkansas specifically, obviously, we talked about inventories up. New construction's crazy. I don't think me and you have said on the podcast since Rosh Coleman got bought out, have we?
No.
So tell about that.
Billy.
A $1 billion. That's incredible.
Billy.
And they were local.
Lenore
they started here.
Bought them. A group out of Florida. For a Billy.
And Lennar's pretty big, I'm assuming.
Publicly traded.
So they're like D.R. Horton and Lennar.
With Northwest Arkansas, you know, we're going to have 1 million people by 2050. And a big part of those projections are that a bunch of big builders now have us on their radar. And so we have them in. We have D.R. Horton that's in. There's some word of a couple other big builders. But once you have the largest home builder in the United States, D.R. Horton, come to your market, then many times others follow suit. And so the projections of 1 million people are in large part due to the idea that these big product builders have come to town and there's actually enough places for people to live to get to 1 million.
Yeah.
Right now we're dealing with infrastructure stuff in West Benton County. That's been the biggest holdup, and it's really kind of a crisis in Centerton and kind of over there because we don't have the sewer capacity. And so if the cities can figure out infrastructure and we got these big product builders in here, and then Walmart, Tyson, J.B. Hunt, they look to continue to be healthy, then that's the trifecta, and we'll figure it out. Because layered with all of that, you got the flagship university. Layered with all of that, you have the amenities, the entertainment with Topgolf and the Amp, and there's tons of new stuff coming back in. And then lastly, the freaking natural beauty, bro. You got lakes, you got creeks, you got fishing, the mountain biking, the trees. I mean, bro, listen.
We're in the middle of Rogers, yeah. And it's like this.
And no. So when you put all those things together, you got to feel good. Even if these tariffs are weird for a little bit, man, it's the long game here. And I would bet on the long game in NWA all day.
No, I agree. You know what else I figured out the other day that was a mind blow when I was talking to your one of your commercial agents? I realized a lot of the people that have invested here previously have been locals that made it. Whether they were involved with the Waltons, the Hunts, mm-hmm. Tyson, or it was one of those families. Yeah. For the first time, what I'm seeing is almost an equal amount of outside investment. That new Whole Foods over there in Rogers, that whole development was done by a group out of Atlanta or Chicago. Yeah. And that's one of the most premium pieces of real estate in Northwest Arkansas now.
Yeah.
And so here's that. A question for you. A bunch of people my age have asked me this, and I wanted to kind of forward it to you. So in Northwest Arkansas specifically, mm-hmm. if I want to get into a home for the best bang for my buck, do I build a house, do I buy a new construction house, or do I buy a used house?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a common question, isn't it?
Very.
Yeah. And it's a nuanced question. And I would say, in order to answer it, you know, you have to determine in what area of Northwest Arkansas are you looking.
Mm-hmm.
Certain areas, such as Western Washington County, have a significant amount of new construction inventory. And so certain areas in Western Benton County, there's a bunch of pent-up demand, but there's a bunch of to-be-built if they can figure out the sewer infrastructure. So what does that tell you about new construction in Northwest Arkansas? It tells you that in Western Washington County, you could buy now and probably get a pretty good deal because you're competing. There's so many competitors and they're offering concessions because there's kind of a glut of inventory out there. And then in Western Benton County, you can't get that great of a deal, but there's a bunch that'll come on market at some point. And so what is that going to do to your value when they do figure out sewer and it's flooded with a bunch of houses? It may go up a little bit, but then it may adjust back down and be soft. And so the new construction game, you really got to consider inventory in and around you. I will say this, though. I will say that new construction has continued to provide the most value in Northwest Arkansas. in the last 3 years. I think in large part, it's just due to existing inventory being so low. Existing inventory, so a house that's been there and that's already built and just available for sale, you know, I think we're seeing that the inventory is going up just a little bit, but still will be hampered from a price depreciation standpoint because there's only so much inventory available in the first place. And then what was the third one?
Third one would be like a pre-built home, something that someone else lived in, used house, you know, like if I sold my house right now.
Yeah. So I would say to put the categories in new construction or existing homes, right? Yep. And so I think you just got to look to where it sits in Northwest Arkansas and then inventory around it. But most of the value has been gained out of new construction. And I still think that'll continue for the next few years.
Something that a lot of people my age have questioned on, I think I realized what you were saying with the third one. I misspoke. So a lot of people my generation have said, I want to build my own home because they think that's the cheapest. Can you explain to them why that's not necessarily? I know in a lot of things,
custom home, cheapest it's the way. Most expensive, bar none. It is the most expensive. So whenever you have you hire a builder to build a custom home, I think it's wonderful. I mean, Sarah Boyce and I will probably build a custom home when my daughter graduates high school. It's great, whatever. As far as from just a sheer investment or value perspective, it's not the most ideal way to create value. So, and I'll tell you why that is. When you build a custom home, you are sourcing product on an individual basis for the most part. When you're doing a kind of a product built home, like a Ross Coleman or a Buffington or D.R. Horton, well, they're buying all of that product in bulk. Mm-hmm. So you're getting volume-based discounts. The other side is the subcontractors have one lane. And you've got so many subcontractors, and one of their job may just be to go around and run the electrical wiring. And they go from house to house to house. And so it's more of an assembly line fashion in building housing.
That's smart.
Now, from custom, then you're sourcing out subcontractors, you're sourcing out product. And so inherently, costs go up. The other thing is the builder. They don't have the processes and the systems that a cookie cutter house does. And so they're going in and they're troubleshooting. Same thing with the architect and the engineers. And so it is by far the most expensive way to build.
Well, and you didn't even say the land where these D.R. Horton and them, they buy
they get your lot
100 acres and cut them down.
And then go ahead and put infrastructure in. So yeah, I mean, it is. It is. It's the most expensive way to buy.
That's what I was thinking.
But it's the sickest.
It's the coolest. It
you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like if you're trying to stay somewhere and you got a little extra money, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And we got some good builders here in Northwest Arkansas.
We do. There's some really great custom home builders.
We really do.
Yeah. Are those Shadow Valley ones that Abby Hill and them sell considered custom?
Incredible. Absolutely.
They're insane. Those houses are absolutely insane.
They do a wonderful job. And it's in such a good area.
Yeah. EJ and them kill that.
EJ's been doing it a long time.
And I saw his Scissor Tail one, and that's an amazing neighborhood out near Cave Springs.
He's good. He's good on the details.
Yeah, that is very impressive.
And Abby's a killer.
Abby Hill is a killer.
Abby's the future of our business.
She was on the pod the other day.
Was she on the pod?
Yeah, she did. Nice. She did great.
It's been fun getting back on and doing this. Maybe we'll do it every 6 months or so.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We'll do it every once in a while.